From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, President Moon Jae-in is Washington-bound for his summit with U.S. President Joe Biden in what is expected to be a tone-setting affair for the next year left of Moon's term. The nation's daily COVID tally scales back to the 600s as the number of people who receive their first vaccine shots approaches 3.76 million. And events are held nationwide on this Buddha's birthday holiday in a scaled-down fashion amid the prolonged pandemic. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Eunice Kim. President Moon Jae-in has departed for Washington on Wednesday for his first face-to-face summit with U.S. President Joe Biden. The presidential office said Moon's visit will extend for 4 days and comes at the invitation of President Biden. The South Korean leader will be the second head of state to meet Biden in person after Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga. Moon's summit with Biden is set to be held in the early hours Saturday, Korea time. The two leaders are likely to focus their discussions on ways to boost cooperation on their North Korea policies. According to a senior official at the top office, Seoul and Washington are discussing wording related to the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula that will be included in a joint statement. Promoting cooperation on COVID-19 vaccines is also expected to be a key topic at the summit. An official at the presidential office said that Moon is considering attending a signing ceremony on a vaccine cooperation deal between a U.S. pharmaceutical company and a South Korean firm during his stay in the States. A senior U.S. government official says the Biden administration will maintain agreements that previous administrations reached with North Korea. In a written interview with KBS on Wednesday, the official said the Biden administration's North Korea policy will be built upon agreements previously reached, which include the Singapore agreement, adding that it studied previous endeavors very closely. It marks the first time a senior official in the incumbent U.S. government suggested the Biden administration recognizes the joint statement that was signed at the U.S.-North Korea summit in Singapore in June of 2018. The official's remarks indicate that the Biden government, having recently completed its North Korea policy review, recognizes previous accords signed during previous administrations and will leave room for active diplomacy with Pyongyang. Regarding the Quadrilateral Security Dialogue, also known as Quad, the official said it does not plan to expand its membership beyond the U.S., Japan, India, and Australia, but suggested that there would be ways to expand cooperation with partners with shared values such as South Korea and ASEAN nations. The nominee for commander of South Korea-U.S. Combined Forces and U.S. Forces Korea has stressed that large-scale joint military drills between the two countries are quote-unquote extremely important to build readiness. General Paul LaCamera made the remark on Tuesday during his confirmation hearing before the U.S. Senate Armed Services Committee. He said in-person field exercises are also significantly important as they allow U.S. forces an opportunity to work with their South Korean allies. He added that at the tactical level, the joint drills provide an opportunity for soldiers of both countries to build trust with each other. The nominee made the remarks after being asked if he will seek to resume field exercises if he's confirmed. South Korea and the U.S. scaled back the scope of the joint military drills following the Singapore summit between the U.S. and North Korea in June of 2018 in a bid to support diplomatic efforts to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula and establish peace in the region. South Korea's daily COVID-19 cases climbed back to the 600s just a day after falling to the 500s for the first time in a week. The Korea Disease Control and Prevention Agency said on Wednesday that 654 new cases were detected throughout Tuesday, raising the country's accumulated caseload to 133,471. Of the new cases, 637 were local transmissions and 17 were from overseas. Most of the domestic cases came from the Greater Seoul area, with 245 in Seoul and 159 in Gyeonggi Province. 8 more deaths have been reported, bringing the death toll to 1,912. The fatality rate stands at 1.43%. The number of critically ill patients slipped by 8 to 148. The nation's COVID-19 vaccination program is steadily gaining speed, with the vaccine supply situation improving. According to the government's vaccination task force on Wednesday, a total of 11,822 people in the nation received their first dose of the vaccine throughout Tuesday. The figure is similar to the one posted the previous day, but double compared to the figure posted a week earlier. With the latest figure, nearly 3.76 million people have received at least their first dose of COVID-19 vaccine so far, or 7.3% of the nation's population. The number of people who received their second and final dose grew by some 139,000 through Tuesday to reach a total of 1.18 million. That's 2.3% of the population. In a virus response meeting Wednesday, Health Minister Kwon Deok-chul urged those between 60 and 74 years of age to make their vaccination reservation, adding the age group's reservation rate still stands at 49.5%. The age group will be eligible for inoculation starting next Thursday. Those aged 60 to 64, those with chronic respiratory conditions, kindergarten and daycare teachers over the age of 30 will additionally be eligible for shots from June 7. Ceremonies were held throughout Wednesday at some 20,000 temples nationwide to celebrate Buddha's birthday. Like last year, this year's events were considerably scaled back due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Politicians and religious figures attended the main ceremony held at Joge Temple in Seoul, including Culture Minister Hwang Hee and heads of diplomatic missions. In a speech, the Venerable Won Heng, chief monk of the Joge Order, said that the entire world is in pain due to the pandemic, stressing that trust and cooperation are key at times such as these. He also stressed the need to control desire in order to preserve the environment. In particular, the chief monk said he is deeply saddened by the situation in Myanmar and called on Myanmar authorities to declare the suspension of all acts of hostility. In a message conveyed by the culture minister, President Moon Jae-in thanked the Buddhist sector for setting an example in quarantine efforts and helping those in need. The Joge Order canceled for the second straight year its lantern parade amid the pandemic. A United Nations survey has found that South Koreans rank near the bottom in terms of happiness among OECD nations. The Korea Development Institute, in a report released on Wednesday, cited the World Happiness Report published by the UN Sustainable Development Solutions Network, also known as SDSN, which looked at data from 2018 through 2020. SDSN ranks countries on levels of happiness based on factors such as life expectancy, social support, and corruption. Out of the 37 member countries of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, South Korea came in at 35th, marking the third straight year it listed near the bottom among OECD nations. South Korea secured 5.85 points out of 10, placing its people as the 62nd happiest out of the 149 countries analyzed. Topping that list was Finland at 7.84, followed by Denmark, Switzerland, Iceland, and the Netherlands. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center here in Seoul. I'm Eunice Kim.